Hello and welcome. My name is Kewan Foster, and I'm the pastor and church plant of Out of Love Ministries. And on behalf of the Out of Love Ministries community of faith, we would like to welcome you and thank you for taking the time to join us. We ask that you please prayerfully consider partnering with us as we partner with God to help spread the message, the gospel message around the globe. And you can do this by subscribing to our YouTube channel, clicking likes on our video, clicking like on our videos, and by sharing those videos with others so that they too can be encouraged on their spiritual journey with God. So again, welcome and thank you so much for joining us. We are currently involved in a sermon series that we have been doing for the past, today will be the part six in this sermon series. So for the past 6 weeks, we have been doing a walkthrough sermon series on the book of Habakkuk, which is such an awesome prophetic book. And if you have not had an opportunity to watch any of the prior messages, we encourage you to do so. If you are viewing the following video on YouTube, then you will see in the description box, we'll have the links to the other videos. And then plus when the video is concluded on YouTube, you will have an opportunity at the end of the screen to click on the playlist or to click on last week's message to be able to view those. If you are viewing this video on Facebook, then you will have an opportunity as well in the description box to be able to click on a link that will take you straight to our YouTube page so that you can see all the other sermon messages in this sermon series. And then other videos, of course, that we have because we record and we post on YouTube each message for each Sunday. And so again, we've been doing this sermon. The word of the Lord reads as such, you all, as such. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And I'm going to read verse 4 in its entirety. Again, we'll be focusing on the latter part of verse 4. And here's what the word of the Lord says, you all. It says, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not right within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Amen. I want to say that the righteous should live by his faith. And so I want to speak to us on this day from this thought, you all, faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. And I pray and hope that you are encouraged by God's word as it goes forward and that you too will be faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. Now, throughout scripture, God makes it clear, very clear, as to what pleases him, what makes him happy, what he delights in. And we can sit here and go through all throughout scripture and find those different things and those character qualities that God delights in or that makes him happy or that pleases him. But I can tell you right now unequivocally that according to the biblical narrative, one of the things that pleases God greatly, one of the things that makes God thoroughly happy, according to the biblical narrative, is when his people are faithful to him. When we demonstrate faithfulness and loyalty to obeying and following the voice of God. And here at Out of Love Ministries, you all, we don't believe in just giving our opinion. We believe in what thus saith the Lord and what the word of God says. And so whenever I make certain statements, you all, I'm going to back it up with book, chapter, and verse. So right now, I want to draw your attention to, we're going to look at and read a couple passages of scripture that that speaks to this fact that God delights in people when we operate with the spirit of faithfulness. And then we're going to get into this as we continue to get into the message. And I'm going to talk about why God does this. Let's turn our attention, you all, to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this, you all. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. And in this context, you all, the word blameless means and can be translated. And in some Bible translations, it means faithfulness. It means loyalty. It means having trust in God. So God is looking for people throughout this world who have a heart that is bent towards him, who are sold out, and who are going to be faithful to him. Let's look at Psalms 31, verse 23. Psalms 31, verse 23, you all says this. It says, love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the what? Faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. The writer right here in Psalm says, listen, the Lord preserves. That means he's going to keep you. That means he's going to maintain you. That means God is going to be with you. But it says that he does that to those who are what? Faithful. But those who operate in a spirit of pride, the scripture says he repays those who act in pride. Again, we're talking about what the Bible says, what the biblical narrative says on how God looks toward or what his disposition is towards those who operate with a spirit of faithfulness. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1-2. Very popular passage of scripture and whereby God talks about the blessings and the curses when he enters into this covenant relationship with the nation of Israel as they have come out of Egypt and during their time in the wilderness. Listen to what the word of the Lord says, you all. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1-2 says this, you all. And if you faithfully, oh, help me, Holy Spirit, listen to the word of the Lord, you all. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord, your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is Moses speaking to the nation of Israel. And notice the condition, you all. Notice that in order for the people to experience the blessings of God and in order for those blessings to overtake the people, you all, oh, y'all better walk with me right now. It was attached, according to the biblical narrative, to the people being faithfully obedient to the voice of God. Faithfully obediently, you are meaning being consistent and walking with God and being upright, obeying the voice of the Lord. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. This will be our last passage of scripture that we're looking at, you all, as we're just simply looking at passages of scripture in the Bible that speaks to how God delights in those who have faithfulness towards obeying him. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And the context of this passage of scripture, you all, is that Jesus is talking to the different churches in the book of Revelation. And this is to the church in Smyrna that Jesus gives this message. Listen to this, you all. Jesus says this. He says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be what? Tested. And for 10 days, you will have tribulation. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life, you all. And in that passage of scripture, that's just cut straight to the point. Jesus is encouraging the believers in the church of Smyrna. He's encouraging them. Jesus is saying, listen, you're about to get ready to go through some things. I don't understand if you understand what you're about to get ready to go through. But Jesus says, I'm just warning you right now. You're about to get ready to experience some intense, severe tribulation. And this is going to be at the hands of Satan. And what the enemy wants you to do is to give in or give up. But Jesus said, don't you give in and don't you give up, because while you're going through these trials and these tribulations, Jesus said, I want you to hold on. He said, be faithful to the end. And if they are faithful to the end, Jesus said that you are going to get the crown of life. I stopped by today to tell somebody right now, I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what level of impact the COVID-19 or this racial tension that has been going on in the United States of America and abroad or any other thing that you are going through. I don't know what impact it has had on you. I don't know if you want to throw in the towel or give up, but I stopped by today to tell somebody, don't you give up. You hold on to God's unchanging hand. You continue to be faithful and loyal to God all the way up until the end, because it is faithfulness that God delights in. It is faithfulness to obeying his voice. It is faithfulness to us saying, Lord, I will follow you wherever you tell me to go. And it is this faithfulness faithfulness that God loves and he honors and he favors you all. Don't you understand that when you walk with God and you please the Lord, do you not understand how God will bless you and the blessings of God will overshadow you, you all? Come on, somebody walk with me right now, you all. For example, in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, if I'm not mistaken, chapter 38, we read about the story, you all, of what? Of Hezekiah. And in this story, when the chapter opens, you all, it says that Hezekiah was extremely sick, you all. I ain't talking about just some achoo. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about the common cold. I'm not talking about no flu. I'm talking about the biblical narrative said he was sick unto death. So sick that the prophet Isaiah was sent by God to tell King Hezekiah, you need to get your house in order because you are surely going to die. Now, I don't know if anybody has ever received that type of news, but that's the type of news right there that will cause a person to shut down and shut up. But the Bible says Hezekiah did something. You all, yes, walk with me, Lord. The Bible says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to God. And when he prayed to God, you all, listen. When he prayed to God, I want you to listen. I want you to listen to this man's prayer and what he said. And I want you to listen to how God honored him. How God honored him, you all. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 2, you all, the Bible says this. It says, then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you, and watch this, you all, faithfulness and with the whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And Hezekiah wept bitterly, my Lord and my God. Listen, you all. God sent the prophet Isaiah to tell Hezekiah, you gonna die. You ain't gonna get well. You're not gonna recover. There's nothing the doctors at Emory can do. They can life flight you to Vanderbilt. No matter where you go, you gonna die of this illness that you have. Hezekiah turned his face toward God. He prayed. And y'all heard what the word of the Lord said. He basically told God, he said, Lord, I've been faithful to you. I've done what you told me to do. I've been consistent. I've trusted in you. I didn't trust in my flesh during the whole time, Lord God. Yeah, I made mistakes, but I trusted in you with my whole heart. And as a result, God told the prophet Isaiah, you go back. Oh, and you tell Hezekiah that I have heard his prayer. And as a result, I'm going to add 15 more years to his life. I'm telling you all right now, listen, you can't tell me that when you are faithful to God, please don't tell me that God does not honor faithfulness, you all. And watch this. Faithfulness does not mean perfection. Oh, somebody need to hear that, you all. Because see, somebody thinks to be faithful to God means to live a perfect life, error-free, and not make any mistakes. Y'all, if somebody understands what I'm saying, can you type in the comment box right now, amen? Can you go ahead and type in the comment box, make it plain, Pastor, preach on. Faithfulness does not mean that you're free from error and you're not going to make mistakes, you all. Make it make sense, Kiwan. Give me a little time. When you look at the life of King David, you all, yes, that David, according to the biblical narrative, who defeated Goliath, that David who is considered to be the cream of the crop and the most gifted and the best anointed leader that the nation of Israel or king ever had. That David, you all, who the Bible declares and decree was a man after God's own heart. The scripture teaches us and tells us that David wasn't a perfect man, you all. He wasn't. David committed adultery and murder. That's a double whammy. And he, according to the law, he should have been killed. But God's grace and mercy covered him. David stole a man's wife, got her pregnant, then got the man killed when he went out on a military conquest, you all. But yet and still, when you read throughout scripture, the king who all the other kings are essentially compared to, who they are encouraged to live up to, you all, is who? David. Why? Because of his faithfulness to God, because of his trust and his faith in God, because his heart was all in with God, you all. And again, I'm telling you, God desires for us to be faithful, to be faithful. Now, in the context of this passage of scripture, you all, that we're looking at, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the question becomes this in this context, you all. The word of the Lord, again, the Lord is speaking to Habakkuk, this vision, this revelation of the judgment that is about to get ready in the future, right? In the upcoming future. And according to biblical scholars, again, probably within 25 to 30 years of when Habakkuk delivered this message. So this is some 20 plus years looking ahead before this even happens that Habakkuk is talking about. The Lord says, but the righteous should live by his faith. Now, let me share something with you all when it comes to biblical interpretation regarding practicing and employing correct biblical interpretive skills. All right. And I want y'all to keep this in mind. If you need to write this down, write it down and don't ever forget this, you all. Whenever you read the word of God, whenever you read any passage of scripture, always know that what we are reading was written to a specific people group, a specific people group during a specific time, and it had direct meaning. Hear what I'm saying, you all? It was written to a specific people group at a specific time, which means that it was set in a specific cultural context of what was going on at that moment. So whenever we read scripture, you all, the first thing that we want to make sure we do in our quest to seek to interpret scripture, before we can talk about applying the scripture to our life and encouraging other people in their life, we need to be able to discover and wrestle and discover, what did this message mean to its original audience? How would they have interpreted what was being said? So watch this, you all. In this context in Habakkuk, when God tells Habakkuk to share this message of judgment, and remember, you all, we're going to paint the picture. Remember, the message of judgment is this, you all, that God has grown weary, he's sick and tired, and he's fed up with the consistent, pernicious wickedness and sinful ways of the nation of Judah. He's tired of them and how they have repeatedly broke God's covenant, the agreement that God made with their ancestors when they were in the wilderness. God is tired. His hands have gotten weary. And as a result, God says, you know what? Here's the punishment that I'm going to bring upon the people. I'm going to bring such calamity and destruction upon them that when people hear about it, they're not even going to believe it. And God tells us throughout the book of Habakkuk, remember, you all, because if you go back and read prior verses, that's what God is saying. And if I'm not mistaken, starting over in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Through verse 11 is when God says that he's going to use the Babylonian Empire to be the instrument of judgment whereby he disciplines his own people because of their sins. I want y'all to stick with me, with you all. Stick with me now. So God says that he's going to discipline them, you all. I just want you to just come with me and think and imagine, first and foremost. Think and imagine how this message was received. Once Habakkuk received this prophetic word from God, then he had to take this message and go and deliver it to the people during his day and time. He had to go take this message and deliver it to the king and the rest of the nobles and the religious leaders. And he had to basically tell them, God is about to wipe you all out because you're living crooked like a roach leg. Now, that ain't what the scripture says. That's the Kiwan translation. But God basically tells them, I'm about to wipe you out because you're not living right. You draw near to me with your mouth, but your heart is far from it. Oh, Kiwan, you didn't have to go there. Make it make sense. Give me some time and I will. See, you got a whole lot of people, you all, who pay lip service. They say they love God. Oh, y'all ain't walking with me right now. They say that they are disciple of the Lord. They say that they're committed to Christ. But when you look at their actions and you look at their life, they lack consistency. They look more like a child of the devil than they look like a child of God. Now, somebody gonna hear that. Now, somebody done got mad and somebody done turned me off when what you should be doing is turning me up. Because the desire of the child of God should be to look more like our Father, which is in heaven. And our Father, which is in heaven, has given us an example through Jesus Christ, his life and his ministry, on how we are to act and carry and conduct ourselves. But going back, when Habakkuk delivered this message, you all, you know, it was received with mixed responses. I'm pretty sure you had a segment of people who looked at Habakkuk and laughed him to scorn. Because remember, Habakkuk is sharing something with them about something that's going to happen some 20 plus years later. And so many of them have a false sense of security rather than listen to the prophet like God told them in his word. They turn a deaf ear and they could care less about what the prophet said. So you had a segment of people who could care less about what Habakkuk said, who laughed him to scorn, and who may have even went so far, even though the biblical narrative does not say this. I'm not saying this happened, but what I'm saying, who may have done to Habakkuk what they did to Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah and Habakkuk are contemporaries, which means that their life and ministry overlapped. Jeremiah's ministry was 40 years, you all, and he ministered from the time of Josiah to part of his reign all the way up to Zedekiah, who was the last king that was put in place. And Jeremiah had a ministry whereby he was given the charge by God to go and tell the people of Judah, God is going to wipe you all out if you don't get your life together. If you don't get it right and repent of your sins, God is going to send an enemy nation to come in here. They're going to besiege this city. They're going to destroy the city with fire. They're going to take people out. People are going to die. And I ain't talking about no 10, 20. Thousands of people are going to lose their life if we don't get this thing right and you turn your heart to God. Guess what the people did to Jeremiah, you all? Physically assaulted him and threw him in a dungeon. And when you look at the ministry of Jeremiah, you all, walk with me. When you look at the ministry of Jeremiah, again, who prophesied during the same time period of Habakkuk to these same people, this man's ministry was filled with misery. And when I say misery, I mean misery from the perspective that didn't nobody like him for the most part. Because see, when you go to tell people what thus saith the Lord, please don't expect for people to welcome you with open arms. Because if truth be told, we don't like correction. We don't like when we rebuke. Some of us ready to fight at the drop of a dime if somebody says something to bring out some error or sin in our life. Oh boy, we get real mad and we upset rather than thank God for the Lord working through that person to bring to our attention the sin that we are involved in so we can what? Repent and turn back to God. We're upset at that person. But the people turned a deaf ear to Jeremiah, you all the way up until the time when Babylon came in, besieged the city, destroyed the people's houses, burnt down the temple. The people did not repent and turn from their sinful ways. But watch this, you all. This same message that Habakkuk preached of judgment, there was a segment of people who, when they heard about what was going to happen, I can only imagine they thought about that depression filled their heart, anxiety filled their heart. There was probably a sense of betrayal, a sense of confusion, because they're trying to figure out why would God do these things. But it was those people, I believe, that when they heard Habakkuk say, but the righteous shall live by faith, I want to believe that an injection of hope shot through those people when Habakkuk said that, because within the context of what was going on when Habakkuk delivered this message, this verse, but the righteous shall live by faith, meant to the people that although God is going to bring destruction and calamity, although God is going to bring judgment, God is going to also bring hope, and God is going to bring grace, and it's going to come to those who, what, you all, who live by their faith. And in this context, you all, faith means their faithfulness, their trust in God, their steadfastness to not move from giving up to being loyal to serving God despite the calamity, despite the trouble that the people would go through as the Babylonians would come and destroy Jerusalem and deport thousands and thousands of Jews back into the Babylon, and they would be there for 70 years. 70 years. Listen, you all, let me just paint the picture a little bit more. You all, I'm trying to make it make sense. When the Babylonians marched on Jerusalem, the scripture says that King Nebuchadnezzar besieged the city. And when you read, according to the biblical narrative, we are told that this siege occurred for some 18 months, you all. Now, I want y'all to listen to this. Listen to this. 18 months. Nebuchadnezzar's greatest warriors and military marched on Jerusalem, locked the city down, you all. Now, watch this. From a military strategic perspective, whenever you wanted to draw, or whenever you wanted to seek to capture a city or to win a battle, one of the number one strategic things that militaries would do is they would besiege a city. Because during a siege, what you do is you block off the people's ability. Y'all listen to me. You block off the people's ability to get food in or to get food out. So basically what you're doing is you're literally starving the people in the city so that they would wave the flag and say, we give up, we surrender. And they open up the doors. And then then those who are seeking to conquer come in and they end up conquering the people, making the people slaves, plundering and taking all of their goods. And they transport the people back to their native land. Y'all walk with me now. This is what happened when the Babylonians came and they besieged Jerusalem, you all. But not only that, you all, things got so bad. The food supply got so short that we are told through Jeremiah that the people would desire, and they actually, the people ate their own children and began to eat their own neighbor. That's not a metaphor, you all, but they got so hungry that they begin to literally practice cannibalism, you all. Look at Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 8, you all. It says this. God says, and I will make this city a horror, a thing to be hissed at. Everyone who passes by it will be horrified and will hiss because of all its wounds. And I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and their daughters, and everyone shall eat the flesh of his neighbor in the siege and in the distress with which their enemies and those who seek their life afflict them. Things got so bad in this siege. So it's those people that I can only imagine when Habakkuk says, but the righteous should live by their faith. Habakkuk is essentially telling them, listen, trouble is coming. But when it comes, and as it's coming, you continue to be faithful to God. You continue to listen and obey the voice of God. You make sure that your heart is right with God. Don't you worry about what everybody else is doing in the sense that you are saying to yourself, well, everybody else is sinning and I might as well just go ahead and sin too. And I might as well just let myself go. No, no, no. You continue to live by your faithfulness and your trust in God, you all. Because again, remember we said, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, this verse is talking about two types of people. It's talking about those people who rely on themselves rather than those who rely on themselves and who are caught up with pride and arrogance and who trust in their own might like the Babylonians did. And like many people do who operate in a spirit of pride, that's the first type of person that this verse is talking about. And then the second type of person that this verse is talking about, you all, are those who trust in God, oh, and who rely on God. See, when Habakkuk says, but the righteous should live by their faith, you all. Righteous in this context does not mean morally perfect. Righteous means those who have been justified by God, watch this, on account of their faith in God. Do we not read over, I believe it may be Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And if I'm not quoting or referencing the right scripture, you all, we're going to make sure we put the right one on the screen. But I think it might be Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. The Bible says what? That Abraham believed God and God counted it as righteousness, you all. So God said to Abraham, listen, I view you as being in right standing before me because you have faith to believe that everything I told you I'm going to do, you believed it. So God says you're in right standing with me. And so when we talk about righteousness in this context, it's giving reference to those people who put their complete trust and faith in God, and that although trouble is coming, God is going to be with them. He's going to preserve them. He's going to keep them as a whole collectively. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, you all, says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. See, watch this, you all. When you trust in the Lord and not your own understanding, that means you're throwing yourself at the mercies of God. You're depending and relying solely on God. You're putting your trust and your all in God. And the scripture gives a promise and said, he will make your paths straight when you acknowledge him in all your ways. And one of the best ways that we can acknowledge God, when you become a citizen in the kingdom of God, which comes by way, according to Romans 10 and 9, by confessing Jesus as your Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, one of the best ways that we can acknowledge him, you all, is by living a life whereby we are faithful to him and loyal to him to the end. Oh, 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan is looking for people to devour, who's weak in their faith. But watch this, you all, who he really wants, who the enemy really wants to get to, who he really wants to shake up and knock down, are the people of God. Those who say, we will live by faith. Those are the people that the enemy wants to turn the furnace up 7 times hotter. You know why, you all? Because he wants to get you. He wants to get me to renounce God. He wants you to doubt the promises of God that you read in the scripture. He wants you to capitulate and to give in and to be brought into bondage and sin and doubt the living one true God. But I'm here to tell you all right now, I'm here to encourage you all right now, that as you walk with God, please understand that there are going to be a number of fiery furnace moments that the enemy is going to want to use to try to destroy you and take you out. But understand, with God, God uses the fiery furnace in a different way, you all. The fiery furnace, when God uses it from God's perspective, God uses it to refine and burn some things away. God uses it to test us and encourage us and strengthen our faith so he can bring us to another level. Oh, you all, could it be? Help me, Holy Ghost. Could it be that the year 2020 has been set aside to be the year of the fiery furnace in your life? The year whereby a number of things will be set into motion, not to destroy you from God's perspective, but to elevate you in your relationship and your faithfulness to God. Let me tell you all something, you all, and I want you to hear me and hear me good. Listen, it is not difficult to praise God and have a happy disposition when you ain't facing no trouble, you all. Somebody type in the box for me right now. You better preach, preacher. When everything, listen, you all, it's easy to sleep at night When you got money in your bank account and you're able to meet the demands of your daily household expenses and you can pay your bill, you can pay your Georgia power bill for those who live in Georgia. You can pay your electricity bill, your phone bill, your rent, your mortgage, you all. You can go get the things that your children need and be able to afford the electronic devices that they need to do digital learning, you all. Come on, you all, walk with me. When your marriage is on full blossom and bloom and you and your spouse are not having any problems in your marriage, you all, it's easy to praise God and say hallelujah and thank you, Lord, and give of your money and your time freely when you don't have no trouble going on, you all. But listen to me, it's a different story when trouble comes knocking on your door. And not only when trouble comes knocking on your door, you all, but when trouble literally kicks in your door and grabs you by the throat and begins to choke you, then the question becomes, how are you going to respond? Are you going to vacillate? Are you going to capitulate? Are you going to give in? Or are you going to remain faithful to the God who saved you of your sins, faithful to the God that brought you out of being delivered from a whole list of different sinful behavior and things? Are you going to remain faithful? Could it be that the year 2020 is the year that God has set aside as the fiery furnace to test you, to test us? Could it be that this is our moment to rise to the level when it comes to our faithfulness? Oh, you all, listen to me. Y'all know we are in the middle of a pandemic. I just read the other day that in the state of Georgia, 5,000 people have died of COVID-19. They said here in the United States of America, there's been at least 174,000 deaths, you all. Oh, that's what you call some trials and tribulations as we deal with this pandemic and the impact that it has had as it has ravaged our economy and millions of people have lost their jobs. People have lost some things. We are being tested. You are being tested. People have lost their jobs. People have lost their life. People have lost their loved ones, you all. They've lost material possessions that some people don't even care about anymore because it's get to a point where it's not about the material possessions. And on top of us being in the middle of a health pandemic, you all, we have racial tension in this country that we saw spill over May 25th of 2020 when George Floyd was horribly murdered, put to death in broad daylight. I can't breathe. And it's been reported that that at least in all 50 states, you had people in those cities, in at least all 50 states, where, guess what, you all, protests broke out. Racial tension. Then we're in the middle of an election this year. Some saying that this right here is going to be the greatest election in American history in terms of the shift and what's going to happen in the country. You got all of these factors working together, you all. Watch this, you all. The fiery furnace has just been turned up 7 times hotter. But the question becomes this, you all. Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to be faithful to the Lord? Here you go, you all, and I'm done. Are you going to be faithful to the teachings on what the Bible teaches in Scripture? Are you going to do what Luke 6 and 28 say? Are you still going to bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you? Are you still going to be obedient to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Are you going to be obedient to 1 John 4 and 11? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into this world. Are you going to be obedient to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, when it says, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Are you going to be obedient and let Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10 ring true in your heart and your soul? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. My encouragement to you, my encouragement to us is this, you all. Be faithful to the end. I know it's hard. I know many of you all have uncertainty. There have been doubts that have crept in you all. But guess what? Think about the people during Habakkuk's day, especially those people when the judgment came. Think about what they thought. Think about the darkness and the depression and the anxiety and the stress as they were ripped from their land and taken into captivity. Think about how helpless and hopeless they felt. But also think about the word of the Lord as they held on to what Habakkuk said when God says, but the righteous shall live by their faith. I encourage you to keep moving forward and hold fast to your faith and be faithful even unto the end. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting God, Lord, we bless you. We thank you. Father, thank you for allowing us to hear a word of encouragement. Lord God, despite our circumstances and what we are going through right now, Lord, allow us to remain faithful to you. Allow us to remain faithful to the message of the gospel. You are our God, and we know that without you, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name, amen.